Good morning. Today is LWML Sunday, which is a Sunday set once a year on our church calendar to recognize what LWML is and what it is all about and what we do. On this Sunday, ladies of our congregation help out in the church service as greeters, readers, and ushers. Our own LWGS is affiliated with LWML, which is Lutheran Women's Missionary League. Through membership in the Columbus Zone of the LWML and Indiana District LWML. The Lutheran Women's Missionary League is the official women's auxiliary of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. For 82 years, the LWML has focused on affirming each woman's relationship with Christ, encouraging and equipping women to live their Christian lives in active mission ministries and to support global missions. A major emphasis of the League is the support of missions and ministry throughout the world by means of mite box offerings. These are little gifts of love. We call mites because although they are very small, they can do mighty things over time. These mite box offerings have funded tens of millions of dollars in mission grants since the organization began in 1942. Little mite boxes for our own congregation are available through our LWGS group. We also put our large mite box out on the first Sunday of every month and LWML Sunday. Remember, little gifts of love can do mighty things over time. To date, we have collected $139 in mite box offerings. Our Lutheran Women's Group helped perform outreach to the Community for Clarity of South Central Indiana to help families and save babies from abortion. This year, LWGS has given $200 to this worthy organization. Our ladies group provides meals for our church members recovering from surgery or illnesses if they need help. And we also provide funeral dinners for members. We like to remember our college students and any active military church members away from home by sending them a gift of $20 on Valentine's Day. We have an inreach to our church members by selling Christian greeting cards for a minimal price in the hallway. During the summer months, our LWGS does not have meetings. However, we put out a box for monetary donations for Food Co-op for seminary students in Fort Wayne, Indiana. This year, we have sent $453, which helps these students pay for groceries. Our LWGS also sponsors some fellowship events for our church ladies. This year, we did something a little different. We invited the men of in our congregation to a salad supper and movie night on Monday, September the 30th. We had a wonderful variety of salads and some desserts, and then we watched the movie Ark Encounters. It was a nice evening with good attendance. Again this year, we will be having our Christmas tea party with a gift exchange. Ladies, mark your calendars for Saturday, December the 7th at 1 o'clock. And looking ahead into spring 2025, we will sponsor our ladies' night out at a nice restaurant. Our ladies' group has a Terry Lynn Nut and Candy fundraiser, which ends today. Any late orders may be given to Garrett Martin or phone into her tomorrow. There are books for nuts and candy still available out in the hall. Starting today, we are adding a new fundraiser. We are selling God's Creation 2025 calendars for $8 each. They are a sturdy calendar with beautiful pictures and Bible verses for personal use or a holiday gift for a families or friends. Our LWGS currently meets here at the church in the conference room the second Monday of the month at 11 o'clock. As always, all ladies of the congregation are always welcome. In conclusion, may our Lord continue to bless our LWML and our own LWGS. We wish to thank you, our congregation, for all of its help and support. Thank you.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. My son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall speak. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." This is the word of the Lord.
The epistle is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. The text for today's message was a gospel lesson that was just read. A lot of artists have tried to portray the angel coming to announce to Mary that she's going to have a baby. And one of the most famous ones was done by Leonardo da Vinci. But in that picture, Mary is portrayed as being calm. Verse 29 of our text says, she was greatly troubled. This truly was the greatest announcement to a person. Newspaper editor, a British editor, said that what sells papers the most is sex, royalty, and religion. Like headlines, pop star has love child, or princess has a secret affair, or king's secret night with a nun. This is what sells papers. People's minds jump to things that are to such headlines. They read in the stuff into the story that's not really there. That's why I'm not going to bash the Catholics during this, because that's for another time, like a good Bible study on Mariology. So we're going to look at what we believe about the Blessed Virgin Mother. We sometimes fail to notice the important things in a text. Luke begins his gospel with two announcements, two responses, two pregnancies, two hymns of praise, and two births. Mary's response is the way that all Christians should respond. God had been quiet for nearly 400 years. Gabriel was sent to Zechariah, whose wife was Elizabeth, and the Bible lets us know she was quite old and well past the age to have children. But it's announced to Zechariah that Elizabeth is going to have a son. The announcement to Mary was made 6 months later. And notice the agent of the announcement. It's the angel Gabriel. There's only two angels mentioned by name in the Bible. One is Gabriel, the other is Michael. But the angel Gabriel appears to the prophet Daniel in the Old Testament twice. One to give him a vision of the last day, and the second time to give him wisdom and understanding. Gabriel appears twice then in the New Testament to Zechariah about his wife Elizabeth, and then 6 months later to Mary. Let's look at the place of the announcement. Nazareth, insignificant little farming community, about 2,000 people at the time of Christ. As it says in the Bible, does anything good ever come from Nazareth? You know, one thing that people from small towns suffer from is, I want to go to the big town because that's where life is happening. They have the shopping. They have the restaurants. They have the movie theaters. They have all these things. They think if I stay in this small town, I'll become nothing at all. They're disappointed from where they're from. Nothing ever is going to come their way to improve their lot. And some, I've heard some complain that they'll never find somebody to marry if they remain in that small town. Don't focus on location. Focus on God Himself. Notice the recipient of the announcement. In 127, we learn that Mary was a virgin engaged. At this time, girls were generally engaged by ages 13 to 14. So Mary was quite young. And she did not live together, by the way, with Joseph beforehand. They stayed separate for a year, because during that year, the husband-to-be, in this case it would be Joseph, was to build a house for he and Mary to live in. When the house was done, then he came to get the bride, and we have several parables that talks about the bridegroom coming during the course of the night to pick up the bride. In other words, he finished the house. It was now time to bring her home. Then they had a 7-day wedding feast. I cannot imagine partying for 7 straight days. All right, maybe when I was in my 20s, I might have been able to do that. But at this stage of the game, I'm glad when 10 o'clock rolls around at a reception and I can go home. That's terrible to say. Anyways, Mary's engaged to Joseph, a carpenter. Excuse me. At this point, Gabriel does not commend Mary. She was undoubtedly very religious. Verses 46 to 55 indicate that. But notice the greeting before the announcement of the child. Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. God was to bless her not based on her own merit, not that she was a better believer than anybody else. God was blessing her out of grace alone. Mary was nothing special. She came from a small backwater town where there probably wasn't a whole lot of prospects for much, but Mary was chosen out of all the people that the world could have done. It shows God's grace that is for everyone, even to those who appear insignificant. God's grace to Mary shows that grace is available to you and I. And notice the reaction to the announcement. Gabriel's greeting was meant to be comforting, but it says Mary was greatly troubled. I don't know about you, when an angel appears in my room, I'm hitting the dust. And that's where I'm going to stay. You're going to tell me don't be troubled. Angels are fearsome looking things. I think I'd be pretty afraid. It would take God's mercy and grace to get me up on my feet. But Gabriel did not leave her in suspense. We have the content of the announcement. Greatest event in the history of the world was the birth of a Savior. I would also argue the second greatest event was the resurrection, but that's for another day and another story. Gabriel announces two things about Mary. First of all, she's found favor with God. There was no reason to be afraid. She had found favor with God. It's not like the angel came to pronounce judgment against Mary. She had found favor with God. And then Gabriel continues with an amazing announcement. It says in verse 31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus." The name Jesus means Savior. We have in Jesus' name what his ultimate work is in the world, that he came to save sinners. His name points to his saving work on the cross. In 32 and 33, it says, "And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Jesus would reign as king. For about 400 years, close to 500 years, Israel did not have a king. They knew God had promised that a descendant of David would always sit on the throne, but for 500 years, there was no king in Israel. Now, David had a lot of descendants who could possibly be king, but nobody was king, and Israel kept searching for a king. I've been told that Jewish girls, even to this day, when they give birth to a son, say, "May this be the Savior, the king of the descendant of David." They're still looking forward to him. But that's, again, another story. Their king had arrived. After 500 years of waiting, Israel, your king has returned, and his kingdom will have no end. The initial response is interesting. Mary says, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin." Mary was puzzled, because how could she possibly have a baby before she was married? Now let's compare this to how Zechariah responded when the angel Gabriel told him that Elizabeth was going to have a baby. He said, "How can this be? I want a sign. Give me something I can see that proves that you're right." So the angel struck him mute until John the Baptist was born. Mary's response, "How can this happen?" came from faith. Zechariah's response came from doubt. But the angel Gabriel gave Mary a sign anyway when he said, "Your cousin Elizabeth, who was barren, is now 6 months pregnant." Obviously, Mary didn't know that because that was a surprise to her. I can imagine the joy she felt at that, but this was the sign This was a sign that what the angel had to say was true. And then in verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Does anything ever seem impossible in your life? But with God, all things are possible. And notice the final response to the announcement of the birth of a Savior. Mary says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And then the angel departed from her. Mary had to have known this was going to be difficult. She lived in a town of 2,000 people. What do people like to do when they get together? Women gossip and men exchange information. We don't gossip. It's just an exchange of information. And in the exchange of information, Mary would have been accused of a whole lot of things. In fact, she nearly lost Joseph when she told Joseph that she was going to have the baby. Joseph was ready to put her away quietly, divorce her quietly, not make a big deal over it. But Mary simply trusted God's promise. It may not have made complete sense at that point, and it probably didn't, but she believed and trusted God anyway. Mary took God at his own word. That's what it means to be a Christian. Mary's response should be the response of every Christian. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to me, according to your word. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.